You're listening to the Kingwood United Methodist Church Contemporary Sermon Series led by Reverend Chris Harrison in Kingwood, Texas. Thank you for downloading.
God, as we celebrate your unfailing love, we thank you that you remain steady even when we waver. We thank you that over and over and over and over again, you have just continue to be faithful and trustworthy, and that is an amazing assurance and foundation that we can look back on 2017 and move into 2018 with confidence and not despair. So guide us today, even as we find new ways to offer and commit ourselves to you. Make it be real. And not just some feeling of, well, that was a little thing to do. Be with us, Lord. Make your Holy Spirit present. And guide us through these next moments together. May it all be for your glory through Christ our Lord. Amen. So this time in the service then would be the time that they would move towards recommitting themselves to God. As I was thinking about this whole endeavor of recommitting ourselves, one of the things that we often use during this time is a covenant service. And I ask myself, can we really even make a covenant with God? I mean, here's one side of the equation. One side of the relationship is God. I get he can make covenants, right? I mean, because he backs him up. And so the one who makes the covenant is the one who's supposed to back it up unconditionally. And God can do that like no others can. Here's the one who sent us his son, Jesus, to come into the world. Here's the one who lives and breathes in us as individuals and as a church and moves us to help and to serve and to follow. It's the God who continuously over and over and over again proved himself to be good and offering his grace to us. But the other side of the equation, the other side of this relationship, we just keep falling short. I mean, I can promise God, I love you unconditionally, and it just doesn't take me too long into my next day or week or hour to get sidetracked. I mean, when God can make a one-time covenant and make it last forever, we have to over and over and over and over again recommit ourselves to God through Christ, to embrace what he's done for us, but to recommit our lives to him. Now, when we come to these kinds of moments of recommitting and re-offering ourselves in many ways to God, there are so many moments that happen in history, but one of my very favorites is from Joshua 24. It may be a story that's familiar to you, but here's Joshua, who's been leading God's people, the Israelites, into the promised land and to conquer the promised land, basically. Now, earlier, back here in the book of Numbers, Joshua's name was actually Hoshea, which means salvation. But as he's grown in his relationship and in his life and walk with God, Moses renames him Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Not Joshua saves, the Lord saves. And when you go to this part of the book, you run into another guy. Yeah, his name's Jesus. Jesus means the Lord saves also. Jesus and Joshua are actually from the same root. So here's Joshua, and he's the one that led him into the promised land. He's the one that helped him fight the battle of Jericho and the one that helped them to move into these territories that God would have them to move. And now it's coming to the end of his life. Chapter 24 is the last one. And so Joshua brings together all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. And he's going to lead them in a time of recommitting themselves to God. And so to do that, he does it kind of like we just started out. It says, Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Hear that in a prophetic tone. This is God speaking through Joshua, not just Joshua speaking. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. And when I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Do you hear what he's doing? They're being reminded of what God has done in their past, right? They're being reminded of who God is. They're being reminded that this is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that this is the God who parted the Red Sea and led them through. This is the God who brought them out of slavery. And this God who's brought them into the promised land, this God who's given them a new name and given them a new life, is now the one that Joshua asks them to recommit to. And here's how he does it in verses 14 and 15. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And then this verse, Jason. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Choose this day who you will serve. Go back to your old gods. Go back to your old priorities. Or choose God. Have you ever been through those times that you'd really rather go back to the old gods than the old priorities? When following Christ just seems so hard and it seemed like the people who aren't believers are having a whole lot more fun than you are? The times when it looked like what you were doing before you really gave your life to God seems so much easier than it is now. I remember when I was in seminary and one time there was somebody who came around and they were kind of interviewing first-year seminary students. And the question they kept asking everybody was, if this doesn't work out for you, what do you do? And I was sitting and listening to people that were coming to seminary. And this one guy's like, you know, if this doesn't work, I'm going to go back to selling cars. You know, if this doesn't work out, I've got something else maybe that'll work out. And the guy got to me and he goes, so what are you going to do if this doesn't work out? I said, dude, I've got no plan B. This has got to work out. But there are those times, right, when we're trying to do something, when we're trying to faithfully follow God, that it'd be so easy to just say, okay, that's just too hard, God. I'm just going to go back to something else. But I loved on my recent mission trip to Tanzania that I got to go back and do something that I've done before. I got to be a lab tech for a couple of days, things I haven't done in years and years and years. But it was so cool because I heard in that moment, it wasn't God saying, Chris, I want you to go back to that. No, instead it was God saying, you know what? I can use that. I can use that from your past and I can bring it into your present and I can redeem it and I can use it right here and I can set you on a different trajectory for 2018. You know, all that stuff that's in our past, all those good decisions and bad decisions that you and I made, all the stuff that we want to feel prideful about and full of ourselves and all the stuff that keeps haunting our nightmares, all of that stuff, the God who's bigger than all of us takes all that stuff, forgives it, redeems it, brings it to become who you and I are right now, and points us into the future with it. Not to be shackled by it, to find that through our failures and our inabilities are not the deciding factors. It is God, God alone, who will take us into the future unafraid. Another prominent example of that type of recommitment is over the years been known to be called the Wesleyan Covenant Service. And it actually got over time in many ways associated with this watch night service. It's the end of the year. It's what we're going to think about, talk about, and recommit ourselves to in terms of going forward. John Wesley actually went to a service where they were using this and just had a powerful experience of recommitting himself to God through this lengthy time of really introspection of his life and where he was going. And so like all great preachers, he took that idea and he modified it a little bit and he started using it. And as he would lead people through it and as he would encourage and invite people to become a part of this moment, he would just watch people's lives changed. I mean, I have to tell you, after the 9:40 service, there's a couple who have been through a really hard 2017. They had their house flooded. It's taken them to the brink of not knowing how to pay for and finance and get. And they stood up here weeping because God had moved them to see that in the midst of it, God was working and that God was calling them forward. Not to dwell on the past, but calling them forward. And that's what Wesley kept finding in this service as well. He would keep writing, it's rich and it's meaningful to people. People are discovering Christ in it, and people are finding a way back to the Lord. And at the heartbeat of the whole service is something that's come to be known, the covenant prayer. I'm actually going to invite you to participate with this prayer with me in the coming moments. But what I want to do is I want us to read through and talk through for a minute the words that we're going to be sharing together. I don't know about you, I've been to countless moments like this. You stand up, you say the words, you say amen, you go home, not even knowing what I say. So I want to help make you and I aware of what the words we're going to say before we say them. Because these are powerful, deep words. It starts with an invitation. These are my words, but they're to all of us. Commit yourselves to Christ as his servants. You know, when I started thinking about this, I'm like, couldn't we have had a little bit lighter lead-in than that? I mean, when your kids are growing up and you ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? How many of them are going to say, oh, when I grow up, I hope I get to be a servant? And that's not really our goal in life, usually. We want to have servants. We want to be managers. We want to be people who have people underneath us working for us. But for our aspiration, for our goal to be a servant of Christ, to give ourselves to him so that we might belong to him. And then it gets harder. Christ has many services to be done. Some are more easy and honorable. Others are more difficult and disgraceful. Anybody okay with easy and honorable? I'm okay with easy and honorable. It's when we start getting to the difficult and disgraceful ones that these promises are harder. Now, some of these things and ways we serve Christ, they're suitable to our inclinations and interests. You know, we do that spiritual gift stuff. How do you best serve the Lord? Well, you find out who you are, and you use those talents and gifts and graces to serve the Lord. And they come right in line, and that's a beautiful thing. And then there are other times that what God wants you to do is hard and nothing you're really interested in. In some, we may please Christ and please ourselves. That sounds pretty good. But then there are others where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. So it's necessary that we consider what it means to be a servant of Christ. So I'll say, when we get to it in just a moment, let us therefore go to Christ and pray, and we'll join together. Let me be your servant under your command. I will no longer be my own. I will give up myself to your will in all things. Those are deep words. That's a recommitment to God. And then I'm going to invite you to be satisfied that Christ will give you your place in work. And this famous part, the most famous part of the whole thing, is this short prayer. Lord, make me what you will. I will put myself fully into your hands. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure and disposal. Go back to that one right in front of it, Jason, please. Parts of this are really easy for me. Lord, make me what you will. Put me to doing. I like doing. Let me be employed for you. I'm all for that. Let me be full. Fill me up, God. Let me have all things. Oh, yeah. But every single one of those is followed by put me to suffering. Lay me aside for you. Let me be empty. Let me have nothing. Those are hard words. But if we're really, next string, Jason, if we're really freely and willingly giving ourselves to God's disposal for God to do with us whatever he wants to do with us, sometimes it's not going to be the most pleasant thing. But at the same time, even when we go through those hard things, those suffering things, those are the places that I find God the most. Because when it's all in line with me and I'm celebrating and I'm dancing, I'm skipping, it's so easy to just think either that's me doing it or it's just a great day. But when I'm suffering and when I'm laid aside and when I'm feeling empty and all I've got is a desperate cry to God, that's sometimes when I find God the very, very most. And sometimes God knows that about me. I'd say probably all the time God knows that about me. I want to be all in. I want to go to those places willingly that God wants to take me because I want to be drawn close to him. So those are the words that we're going to share with one another. So now that you've seen them, whether you're willing to say them or not, I'm going to invite you to stand as we gather here in this place. These first two screens are invitational. Those are mine. You saw the part where you come in just a moment. But hear these words again. This is what God invites you to do this day through these words. Commit yourselves to Christ as his servants. Give yourself to him that you may belong to him. Christ has many services to be done. Some are more easy and honorable, others are more difficult and disgraceful. Some are suitable to our inclinations and interests, others are contrary to both. In some, we may please Christ and please ourselves, but then there are other works where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. It's necessary, therefore, that we consider what it means to be a servant of Christ. Let us therefore go to Christ and pray. Join me. Let me be your servant under your command. I will no longer be my own. I will give up myself to your will in all things. Be satisfied that Christ shall give you your place and work. Join me again. Lord, make me what you will. I put myself fully into your hands. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure and disposal.